Philippians chapter 1. The title of my message today contains one word, Him. I want to read several passages. Try to discover them in your Bible and put them together. Philippians chapter 1, first of all. Verse 29. Because to you it hath been granted in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, in His behalf. It's granted unto us to suffer for His sake. Now, chapter 3. Verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, becoming conformed unto His death. Now Hebrews 12. Verse 3. For consider Him that hath endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, that you wax not weary, fainting in your souls. And in chapter 13, verse 13, let us therefore go forth unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40, and to Him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles unto them, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. They therefore departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And I'll quote the last one in 2 Timothy. For I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for all the things that You tell us about Your Son, but we also thank You, though, with apprehension, for all the things You tell us about what You expect of us. We look at Your Son, our Father, and we understand that He is the one who has done all things well. But our Father, You would have us to not only look unto Jesus, but to consider ourselves, whether it's the mote or the log in our eye, but we are thankful that You would have us to examine our hearts as well. And that is what we would do this day. Father, let us know that today is the day when Your Son rose from the dead. We thank You for that. We shall desire to consider this perhaps next week. But today, our Father, we would consider for a while our responsibilities to Him. So let us examine our hearts and see just what our measurement is in the sight of God. We thank You for all who are here. Let us know our God, whether it's a rare thing or whether it's an habitual thing. But whatever, they are here and the Word of God can be spoken. May it find an abiding place in their hearts. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. How long have the outbursts of praise that you have given to Christ lasted? Some last a lifetime. Some last 20 years. Some last 5 days. And that is why it is not what you said yesterday about Christ, but it's what you are saying about Christ today. Listen to what Paul says. He says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. What he said about the Lord Jesus, the first day he was saved, he continued to say until the end of his life. But one thing that upset me when I learned about it was this, that some Christians who were devout Christians, as far as I could see, lasted 20 years, and now they have abandoned the Lord. I went to school with one, and he was an outstanding trophy for Christ, I thought, and then after 20 years, he abandoned his faith in Christ. And another one was one of the most loving Christians, I thought, that I had ever met, and after 20 years, he abandoned his love of Christ. And another brother that I fellowshiped with, went to conferences with, for 20 years, suddenly, he simply stopped coming and remembering the Lord and serving the Lord. As far as I know, he has abandoned the Lord. And so it's not what you said yesterday about the Lord, or even 20 years about the Lord, but it's what you say about the Lord today that is important. I told you this about that old man who had been praising the Lord for 60 years. He began the first day he was saved, and he is here today still praising the Lord. And if God has sustained me this long, I suppose he can sustain me unto the end. But I mention this for the reason that last week I spoke to you about the proclamations of praise that were bestowed upon the Lord Jesus. This was last Lord's Day, the entrance into Jerusalem, and this is what they said, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna to the Son of David, glory to God in the highest. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they praised him, and they took their garments and cast them at his feet. And they followed him, shouting these praises all the way to Jerusalem. And then 5 days later, 5 days later, the high priests and the elders, when Pilate said, shall I release unto you Barabbas or Jesus? They said, Barabbas. And he said, well, what shall I do with Jesus? And they said, crucify him. Crucify him. What a change. 5 days before, Hosanna to the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. And 5 days later, crucify him. And so that is why I have no confidence in all of these praises and all that you say about the Lord for 5 days or 5 years. Because what God expects is an endurance to the end. He says this, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, that's the end. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so this is what God expects. And so some of us come out on Easter and perhaps Christmas time, certain days of the year we come out. But it's not what you do on special days, it's what you do every day. And that is what is so sad. And to do more than that is to look at God and say, you certainly can't expect any more devotion to you than I've given you. That's why I read you those passages that search your soul so deeply. It says in Philippians chapter 1, unto us it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Is this a gift that you have thanked God for? You are permitted to suffer for his sake. I think that you and I would flee from that suffering instead of looking upon it as a gift from God. But in Acts 5, it says this, that the apostles were threatened and beaten. And then they went out from their enemies' presence to meet with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And it said, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the Lord. When is the last time you suffered dishonor for the Lord? When is the last time when you heard Christ's name spoken against? Did you stand up and speak in behalf of that name? I remember 3 things that happened to me when I was going to school. This was at the University of Toronto years ago. And the English professor was teaching us about Chaucer. And in the course of his remarks, he said, I was out last Saturday night at a bar, and while I was in that bar, some of these evangelicals came in and were asking, are you saved? That's the kind of people that came into the bar, the kind of people that say, are you saved? If I had courage at that time, I would have raised my hand and said, I am one of those people that say, I am saved. But I said nothing. And it was an opportunity that went by. But thank God. When the Hebrew professor would tell us interpretations that would take away from confidence and devotion to God, as soon as we got outside the classroom, I would go and speak to the other Hebrew students and tell them the correct interpretation. And also, my history professor one time was speaking about certain plans for mankind. Which do you think would be successful? And I went up to him and I said, there is a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming from heaven and he's going to reign 1,000 years. I said, that is the age I am looking forward to. And so I failed once, but thank God, I did not fail the other times. Now, have you ever succeeded even once in your life when someone has spoken against Christ, has detracted from the sacredness of the Word of God? Have you suffered dishonor that way? Why, if someone says, well, he is a man who says you have to be saved, Thank God. I've been saying it for 60 years, and I hope to say it until I die. And if there is reproach associated with it, thank God. My Savior said, you must be born again. And if that's going to bring reproach, I will say it till the end of my life. And not only so, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, I will confess him as Lord. I confessed him the first day, and at least for 60 years, I've still been confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. But some have not. And I wondered why. I thought, and yet, he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. I thought I would go to these brethren that I respected so highly, and then fell away, and asked them, do all in your power to make me renounce faith in Christ. But it could be that somehow Satan would empower them, and in a moment of weakness, I would think about those things and falter. But I say this, that if your faith in Christ is divine, you will never permanently deny Christ. You can on occasion, but never permanently, for this reason. It speaks in the Bible about those who believe for a while. There are different kinds of belief in the Bible. But when Peter was asked, men say, I am who? And you are Jeremiah. You are John the Baptist. You are one of the prophets. And the Lord Jesus said, and you say, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Savior said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. Who revealed unto you who Jesus is? If you have arrived at the conclusion academically, that means nothing. But if flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but the Father who is in heaven has revealed it unto you, you will never be able to cast off the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And this is what the Lord wants us to know. If we are His, He expects us to endure, to confess, to live a certain kind of life to the glory of God. It says this, we died with Christ, and our life is hid with Christ in God. And He expects certain things of us, and that's why I read you those five passages. First of all, it says this, unto us it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. What happens when suffering comes into your life? You say, I wonder if God still loves me. Do you not understand that you fail to comprehend one of the reasons that God saved you? Unto us it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. This suffering is not a strange thing that happens unto us. It is something that God bestows upon us. You say, a strange thing. But then, eventually, I hope that this desire shall arise in your heart. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know Him. Yes, I can go along with that. I want to know Jesus and the power of His resurrection. Yes, I want to know that. And he says, and the fellowship of His suffering. How many of you want to enter into the fellowship of Christ's suffering? Oh Lord, let me suffer as Jesus suffered. I do not know any of us here who have prayed that prayer. Lord, let me suffer. Let me enter into the sufferings of Jesus. Let me experience what He went through on earth for me. Let me go through on earth for Him. I've never prayed that prayer. I've been afraid. I do not know what will happen if these sufferings come for this reason. I would think that I could say with Peter, though all of you are going to forsake the Lord and deny him, I shall never deny him. But I remember a man named Peter who said that. And the Lord Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you turned around, strengthen your brethren. And so I would like to think that I would die before I would deny Christ. But I do not know what I might do under certain circumstances. Well, Peter, he was the exception of the apostles and not the rule. It says that not only did Peter deny the Lord, but when they arrested our Lord, it says they all forsook him and fled, all of them. And so here are the examples. Here are your apostles. One of them sold our Savior for 30 pieces of silver. The other 11, one of them denies him 3 times with oaths and curses, and all of them flee when he is arrested. And so I'm not going to tell you what great things I've done for the Lord. And I'm not going to say that I may enter into the fellowship of your sufferings. But if it does happen, I shall perhaps say, well, Lord, perhaps you've thought more of me than I realize. And so if these strange things happen unto you, understand that they are the blessings of God. This is what he wants us to understand. Now, that I may know him. How much more do you know about the Lord Jesus today than when you were saved a year ago, 5 years ago? Have you been growing in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That's one of the exhortations. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I told you the other week that I started out having memorized 4 verses of Scripture. And they took me along for a week, a month, and then I learned more. And this is what God expects of you. He does not expect you to know everything at the first, but he expects you to know everything at the last. Why? Because one of the desires of the Apostle Paul was this, that I may know him. Do you want to know Jesus? This is what it says, that the highest mark of maturity is knowing the Lord Jesus. John, in writing to his little children, says this, my little children, these things write down to you because your sins are forgiven. So little children know their sins are forgiven. I write unto you, little children, because you know the Father. Thank God. I know my sins are forgiven and I know the Father, my Father which art in heaven. I know that. But he says, I write unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Has God ever said that about you? There's nothing higher that he can say. He says concerning the children and young men twice, and each time there is an advance. When he speaks of the fathers, he has no advance. He says, I write unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And again, I have written unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And so the greatest mark of maturity is knowing him. Let me tell you the rapid advance of that man that was born blind. The Lord Jesus sent him in his blindness to wash at the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed and returned seeing. And they asked him the question, who opened your eyes? And he was unaware as to who had done it. And finally he said, what, Jesus did it? And they said, well, tell us about this man. And finally he got out, he said, well, he's a prophet. And he said what he could, but when he told them all that he knew about Jesus, and they were not satisfied. They hated him, and they cast him out. It says that Jesus found him, and he said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. And he said this, Do you believe on the Son of God? And he said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And the Savior said, You have both seen him, and he it is that speaketh unto thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Do you see how quickly he found out that Jesus was the Son of God? And who taught him? Jesus himself. Some learn so quickly, and some, at the end of their life, live and not know for certainty the deity, the equality of the Father with the Son. All men are to honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And when Nathanael came to the Lord Jesus, and the Savior said, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said, How do you know me? And the Lord Jesus said, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You see how quickly some know? How many of you have the conviction that Jesus is the Messiah? How many of you have the conviction that Jesus is the Son of God? And how many of you have to wait until the Lord Jesus is ready to go back to heaven before you find out his deity? When the apostles told Thomas that the Savior was risen from the dead, Thomas said, I will not believe until finally the Lord Jesus came and presented himself bodily, flesh and bone. And he said, Now, give me every test and understand that I am the one that you said was not alive. And Thomas said unto him, My Lord and my God. Are you prepared to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and your God? Or are you taking Christ and just making him some man, the highest of men, but just a man? Then Thomas knows more than you, and you haven't grown in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul said is that I may know him. And he said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. How many of you have lived in the power of Christ's resurrection this past week? And how many of you are going to live in the power of that resurrection this coming week? Think of your past life, the last week. Tell me, has it glorified Christ? Can you say that there's been any change in you, that there is the power of God in you? We contend, I believe in the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Do you believe in the power of the resurrection of Christ in you? Or do you go through life in a manner that is mediocre, that is lukewarm? And the Lord Jesus says concerning all the lukewarms, he says, I will spew you out of my mouth. But the Apostle Paul said more about Jesus. I want to know him, and I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. This is what he wants. You may not have known it, but some of you, when you grow up, learn that there is a reproach being associated with those that gather to the name of the Lord. Why, go in Pembroke to a big denomination that has a choir, has an organ, has all of these outward splendors, and there is no shame associated with it. But I hope that here we can say we have nothing of the flesh to glory in. And that's the way it should be. It says in Hebrews 13, Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And let us go outside denominationalism and also clerisy and all of the things that the world says you have to have a large, prospering church. But what a prospering church is in the sight of God and man are two different things. But what I want to do is to go without the camp bearing his reproach. And Paul said that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Yes. And it says this, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. That's what I want to do. I want to consider each Lord's Day for an hour. I want to consider Him and His sufferings. And I want my heart to express my gratitude that He bore my sins in His own body on the tree. And so, here it is Easter, and the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead, and now He expects these things of us. And some understand what He expects, and some are going to live up to the things that He expects, and some are going to go on through life in a mediocre way. But may my desire be the desire of Paul, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, for all Your Son has done for us, we thank You. Let us know that there is not a sinner living who cannot be saved if he trusts in that precious blood that was shed on the cross. We are thankful that there is power in the blood, and we are thankful also that there was power in that death of Christ to enable a man to live to the glory of God throughout all his days. Enable that man whose mouth was filled with curses now to be filled with praises, glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we desire. And Father, there are some who have been good examples, and we pray that we shall look upon them, and may our lives be patterned after them. And so let us be able to say, at least this day, let us consider it our Father, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Our Father, let us be more like our Lord, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.